And we're here and we're going to be looking at the book of Jude. So do you want to grab the Bibles in front of you? Jude is a little letter tucked in front of the book of Revelation. And we don't have time, unfortunately, to look at the whole thing. So we're just going to look at the first two verses of this letter from Jude. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Has anyone here been travelling and then got sick while they were travelling? Not very many. You all obviously take very good care of yourself. It's quite rough, isn't it, being abroad and being unwell. I once spent 24 hours in a hospital in Beijing. I will gloss over the details because they weren't very nice. But the culprit was an ice cream, which I had eaten in the Garden of the Forbidden City in Beijing. Very beautiful place, recommend that. But don't eat the ice cream, because apparently what they tend to do is switch the freezers off at night. But we didn't know that. So spent very unpleasant time in hospital, acute gastroenteritis, complicated by sunstroke. It was a very hot day. Fortunately, I was travelling with a friend, and my friend was wonderful. She was there alongside me, reassuring me, telling me everything was going to be okay, it was going to be all right, which was really nice, except that I was convinced I was going to die. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where someone is reassuring you, trying to let you know that it's going to be okay, but all the time you're just thinking, no, actually, I don't think it is. You know, I like and respect you, but I don't think this is going to be okay. I think I'm really in quite a lot of trouble. Or perhaps it's been the other way around, that you can think of a time where you've been the one trying to reassure someone and thinking all the time, oh dear, I actually don't think this is going to be okay. What does this have to do with the letter of Jude? Well, so Jude had become aware of a very serious problem in the churches that he was linked to. He'd become aware that there were some people within the church who were kind of masquerading as Christians, but who had were teaching some very odd things and starting to lead others astray. And as we know, church families are meant to be places of stability, of safety, of trust. But here, brothers and sisters were being deliberately and callously undermined and their faith destabilised. And in such a situation where we rightly kind of take things for granted that they're going to be okay, when things are at risk of collapse, especially where our finances or relationships are involved, what do we do? We don't know, for example, what's going to happen to our country over the next few months. What do we do? What does Jude do? Well, Jude doesn't sugarcoat the pill. Much of this letter involves Jude saying, guys, this problem is really bad. These people are really messing with you, and you need to understand what's going on and be alert to the problem. But the overall message of the letter is, don't panic. I know it's bad, but don't panic, because God has got this. God has got you. And he does this, as we saw just at the start of the letter. He writes, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. So first he says, you have been called. And the implication is called by God. And this verb to call is regularly used by the apostles in the New Testament to talk about, in the first instance, being called to belong to Jesus Christ. And as Paul says in Romans 11, the calling of God is irrevocable. It cannot be revoked. God won't change his mind. If you're here today following Jesus, if God has called you, he has made you his own, and he will not change his mind about that. So you and I can rest secure that we belong to God forever. Next, Jude uses this beautiful phrase saying that we are beloved in God the Father. And the way that the Greek is constructed here gives this sense of an embrace, of being held, that we are enveloped in the love of God the Father. Because he has called us, because he's accepted Jesus Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, and because he's forgiven us and made us his own, God's love surrounds us. We are held in the love of God forever. Sadly, that doesn't mean that as a Christian we are immunised from suffering. Being a Christian does not mean that we won't potentially be affected financially and in other ways by Brexit. But all the really important things, like his love, his salvation, the eternal security that we find in him, none of these things will be changed, will ever be changed by any of the instability around us. Finally, Jude says, we are kept for Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but most of the time I spend my time thinking about surviving this week, or perhaps the next quarter, or maybe even the next year, because life is a risky business, and I'm just talking about spiritually. There are plenty of forces inside us and outside us that pose a risk to our faith. And it's normal to think sometimes, can my faith survive this? Grief, doubt, desire. We can all stumble over these things and feel like our faith is fading, shipwrecked even. But God says, don't panic. I've got you. Yes, we have a responsibility to be active in our faith, but the burden of responsibility, Jude says, lies with God, and so does the source of encouragement when it's hard to keep going. Most of the time, we hope it's going to be okay, but God knows it's going to be okay, ultimately. When all is said and done, whatever happens between this moment now and your last breath, his word tells us, don't panic. God's got this. God loves you, and he's got you. Amen.